And I will call the meeting to order. And there's one thing, we do not have a recording secretary tonight. Alyssa, would you be able to take notes? Mary's not here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And I can go over them with you before you post them if you'd like. So I will do two things. One is I would entertain a motion to add, under other, another item, which is election of officers, because we're required to do so after July 1 and no later than 30 days after all required appointments have been made. So since we haven't any, we should really do this tonight. So do I have a motion to that effect to add it under other as should be item B. We already have an 8 there instead of an A.
So moved.
So a motion made by David Lynn. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Diane. Any further discussion? If not, then let's do a vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Opposed? Abstentions, and the motion passes by all members present. So now that we made that change, let's do another one to approve the agenda with the changes made. Actually, you know what? We just approved it. Never mind. I'm sorry. So can we just go through and introduce ourselves? I'm, Ross Lally, chair of the Inland Wetlands Commission.
I'm Diane DiNunzio, a member of the Inland Wetlands Commission.
I'm Dave Lynn, member of the same commission.
And Michael, you're muted if you're talking.
Sorry. Yes, my name is Michael McDonald, and I just want someone to note I'm a registered engineer, civil, in the state of Connecticut.
And David, I believe you're a mechanical engineer, so we can get that for the record as well.
That's correct.
And then I think that takes care of us. And Alyssa, you want to just introduce yourself?
Yes, Alyssa Barroso. I'm an environmental scientist and the wetlands agent for the town of Bolton.
Then we can continue on with our new business, which is IW 2510 Kalen Freeman, Bolton's 212 Bolton Center Road.
Hi, that's me. I'm Kaylin Freeman. I'm the head of school at the Montessori School. I know it says Miss Kaylin at the bottom there. That's just because that's what my students call me. So whenever I have meetings, that's how everybody knows me. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So, I'll share my screen. It's going to be a little bit tough to take notes and share my screen at the same time. So I'll try to just keep up with this.
Again, take your time with it because I know you're taking the notes as well.
So this is, and bear with me tonight, I have a migraine. I'm like not doing that great. So if I miss something, please do let me know, for any applicants that are here tonight. So this is an application we received for a walkway at the Montessori School on Bolton Center. It's just a couple doors down from Town Hall. So essentially, they would like to install a walkway made of pavers from the building around to the waste receptacle down here, if you can all see my cursor. So over here, there is a line of overgrown vegetation. It's pretty much all invasives. And then there's flagged wetlands back here, probably about 25 feet away from the the tree line, the vegetation line. So they were just looking to clear about 5 feet of this vegetation here and then build this pathway back to the waste receptacle.
The reason why we are going around that way is because of our leach field there.
Thank you. Yeah, so they just recently had a septic repair, and the leach field obviously can't have a walkway over top of it. So
So if you're on
they're gonna
Old
add
Bolton Road, which is the
the
part of
Waste
it,
Center
oh,
Road.
right in front of the, we're right next to the library.
no, that's what I'm just saying. So
Yeah.
if you're actually on Old Bolton Road, it's called on the map that I'm looking at. So I'm looking at Google Earth, Google Maps, and then so your property's between Toomey and the, Old Bolton Road or Bolton Center Road, whatever that goes between the, everything is in between those two roads. And if I'm looking at the school from out on Bolton Center Road, you're talking, this is in the treed-in area to the left of the building, correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Better idea. So, that was too far. So this here, this one going here is Bolton Center Road, and then this is that little pull off. And then this is the school. So this building is the school here. We have a little fenced in play area. Over here are the flagged wetlands. It's just a small parcel with wetlands on it. And then the walkway would kind of go at that right angle right here. So yeah, they're just looking to clear some vegetation within the upland review area and just install some pavers to create a walkway.
So is the work actually within the wetlands?
Nope, not within the wetlands. It's a good 20 feet away from the tree line, I'd say. The wetlands probably don't start till you get to this like little deeper part here. And it's just like a small finger of wetlands. So the wetlands are in here. We're going to be doing work, or they're going to be doing work over here. So this little square here is the dumpster, so they'd just be going to this.
So it's basically the works outside of the wetlands.
Correct.
It's flat ground there. It looks like you're going to clear back a little bit of brush or something around it.
Correct. Yeah, we have some overgrown grapevines and yeah, invasives.
And so you would, I presume you're going to have somebody with equipment come in, dig down a few inches, put down proper bedding, and then put down the pavers.
Yes, they're actually talking about they would be building up a little bit just to make it so it wouldn't be such a drop off from where the leach field is because there is quite a hump there. So
Yeah.
you'd be actually adding a little bit.
So.
So the leach field is above. If I look at the picture of the leaching field here, the area, the boundary around that then is lower than the leach field itself. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So I guess my questions would be, Do we feel comfortable? I mean, what do we need on this? Look, do we need any sedimentation barriers, Alyssa?
Yeah, so we were talking on site about likely just using a straw wattle
Yeah.
along the perimeter here, sort of pulling it up at an angle and down across the limit of disturbance there. That's really the only place that would need an ENS control. And I don't want to do silt fence because that's just creating more disturbance for such a small area.
You'd have to wind up digging for properly setting the
Yeah,
trench of the silt
exactly.
fence in place.
Yeah, so just throwing a wattle down. There's so much of a buffer between the wetlands and the area of disturbance that I don't know if it's even necessary, but just to be super safe,
Yeah.
we were talking about throwing down a wattle.
So no work in the wetlands, it's flat. We're going to have ENS controls there, so anything that would possibly go into the wetlands is going to be prevented from doing so.
Correct.
No work is actually within the wetlands. So then this looks like it's so simple that it would be a good thing to delegate to you, Alyssa, if you're comfortable with that.
Certainly, yep.
And then that way they can get started sooner. So I would entertain a motion to delegate this permit to Alyssa as agent for the commission. With the proviso that proper ENS controls, to her satisfaction be installed.
I so move.
So motion made by Michael. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Diane. Then any further discussion? And then I'd say all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, abstentions. So the motion passes unanimously by all those present.
Thank you
So
very much.
you have your permit.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
And then Alyssa will work with you to get you the paperwork, and then you can start as soon, when you can't do anything until the paperwork is in place.
Okay. Sounds
Yeah,
good.
I'll have that to you by Friday when I'm back in Bolton. So
This is
I'll
crazy. Sounds good.
send that by email.
Okay.
All right.
All
Any other questions for us, Kaylin?
right. I don't think so. You've been wonderful to be in touch with Alyssa, so I'm looking forward to
Thank you.
continuing working with you.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you. All right. I
Okay.
will be in touch about this shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I would definitely get
And then what do we have next on the agenda? Is it the old business?
We're gonna go on to 25-11. You may be on the old agenda. I had
And
sent a
let
revised
me
agenda.
see which one.
It should say revised at the top.
It is not coming up for me. I had it up here for a second. Hold on. Alyssa, let's try that one. I don't, it's not coming up with the ones that I have available. Let me just go online. So, what's the next item?
It's 25-11, the Town of Bolton. This is a obviously Town of Bolton project on farm trust land. And oh my gosh, my computer is being crazy too.
Now I have the correct one.
Okay, yeah, so this is basically a drainage project. It's going to be installing a catch basin, removing a headwall, installing a catch basin on Brandy Street, and then piping that drainage underground to an existing farm pond. that's on the farm trust property. I can share. So not this one. Oh, it would be on the other packet. So this is in the supplemental packet that was posted later on in case anybody is following along at home. So this is the project. This right here is Brandy Street. And then we have an existing head wall here that's going to be removed, installation of a catch basin in its place. And then basically just a typical HDPE pipe that's going to be under here, 250 feet. And then a little riprap outlet. And then it's just going to drain into this pond. This is a man-made pond. It is. Just a sort of a typical drainage farm pond that you'd see. So yeah, not a natural wetland, but it is a pond with permanent water in it. And there's two ponds. There's a little culvert that goes between them, into this secondary one. So I know Joe's on, so I think he we'll be able to answer questions more skillfully than I.
Yeah, this will jump in. This is just going to be an extension of existing drainage outfall that's been draining onto Mr. Parker's property here and causing it, I guess, just kind of a wet area in his field. So we're just going to extend that through to the farm pond. Then we're going to do a little bit of grading to smooth out, flatten out the property through that area. That's really it in a nutshell. There's going to be no other improvements other than additional pipe to the pond, farm pond.
So basically, you're going to extend this so instead of it draining out in the middle of the field, it's going to drain properly into the pond then
Correct.
to alleviate a drainage issue.
It's one that's an old issue that there was no the town put a cross culvert in on Brandy Street with a couple of head walls, and it's just been dumping off to the edge of the property and just running water all through the field. This will kind of consolidate it, get to the pond, and dry out the property more. And we eventually, once this gets installed, we will go back. The town will get an easement for the pipe, but we did want to get the easement prior to until we may have to make some minor adjustments laterally with the pipe.
So then right now there is no easement. You're doing this work, then you're going to go back and get an easement so you have access to maintain this,
That's
correct?
correct. Yes.
So the wetlands then involved are the pond, correct? Or are there others in between?
Correct. Yeah, so it's just this pond here that since it's a man-made farm pond, there's no like floodplain associated with it. The edge of the pond is the edge of the wetlands. So yeah, it's really a water course that we're dealing with here. But yeah, pretty straightforward. Yeah, it's just created this sort of like muddy area over here that's just going to be
So then,
drained
would there
through.
be any need for ENS down towards the pond or what?
We were talking about it. It's pretty much going to be straw bales as needed. I think it's just going to be like trenched out like a typical pipe installation, and then backfilled. So I don't really see much needing to happen there. There may just need to be some little straw wattles. I'm sorry, not straw wattles, straw bales put in as needed, but we
Because it looks like most of that would just be needed in or adjacent around, adjacent to the pond then, correct?
That's
Yep,
correct.
exactly.
I'm just curious. There seems to be proposed grading lines. Is that going to be all regraded? Is that going to affect, is that going to cut into the earth or put in fill?
It's generally intended just to kind of flatten things out because you can see the existing contours. There was a water kind of cut a trench through there. So when we put the pipe back in, we want to flatten it out so it's more of a usable space for the farm field.
So there will be a significant amount of regrading and a significant amount of exposed earth.
There will be some. There will be regrading. Yes, there'll be a
I mean,
shallow.
anywhere where there's a black line from the road all the
Yes.
way down, that width, that's all going to be exposed earth.
Yes.
So I think we need more than just a note saying a couple of hay bales is needed.
Yeah, it's just that it's farm property, so I just don't know what that's going to really
Well,
look
we're trying to
like.
protect the wetland, aren't we? We don't want the wetland to silt in.
Yeah, of course,
So
but
my
we're
guess,
going
so my
to.
question is this a farmland, and is this going to be this area be used to for agricultural purposes? Is this part of, making it useful for agricultural purposes? I'm trying to understand, is this just like a permit application where, to your point, Michael, there's a lot of disturbed earth, or and we need to have a permit, or is this for an agricultural use? And
Yeah, if they're going to say we're going to replant right away, then that's fine. That's addressing any potential sedimentation problem. But if it's not going to be farmed for the immediate future, then you need seeding or some control of the sediment.
well, no, because I'm just saying is there's if the work is re it's not really related to the agricultural use of this place. It's a correcting a drainage issue that the town caused. So I think you do. I'm just trying to understand it because if this was directly related to an agricultural use, you'd have an agricultural exemption. But this looks like more of this is a correction of a drainage issue caused by the town. And so we're here to correct that drainage issue.
Yeah, I wouldn't personally consider this an ag exemption based on my interpretation of the statute.
Well, that's
I'm
why I
sure
just
there's
want to
people
have the
who.
discussion on the public record because
Yeah.
this is considered, a farmland.
Yeah, that is true.
But this is really not for an agricultural activity. This is to correct an issue the town caused.
So the situation should be better after the correction. Is that what we're to understand?
Yes, this will solve the wet issue and property. All the areas that are regraded will be immediately reseeded after the works. We intend to do it next month, late August, so we'll be in a good growing season, so it can capture pretty quickly. We'll leave the bales at the base, the down gradient end, until everything's established.
So I'm looking at this. So it looks like there's what, a 4 foot drop, based on the contour lines from the Brandy Street down to the pond.
Yeah, it's like 1%.
Yeah, so I'm agreeing with Michael that you probably need the more than a few hay bales down near the end, by the pond. That you'd want to make sure that whatever ENS controls were in place extended beyond the edges of that disturbance to catch anything that could be, washed downhill.
We could put a midway check in the middle there. It looks, you're looking at this with scale as it's we'll just scale drawing. It's fairly flat, but we can put a midway check through there with
Yeah, I was
saw
thinking
bales
check.
again.
Yeah, I was thinking more down towards the pond just to make sure that the whatever, hay bales you put extended beyond the, the edges of the disturbance, laterally.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we just want to make sure anything that flows down is going to go through some sort of filtering system before it gets to
Absolutely.
the
Oh,
pond.
absolutely. That'll be taken
And
care of.
just show where you're planning on putting it on the plans. That's all. Just a line of hay bales here. I would think that would suffice if Alyssa's fine with hay bales as the appropriate said
Yeah.
control, then that's all you need.
For
There's a line
option.
saying here are the hay bales we're going to put in. Boom. All said and done. And then just maybe a note that you're going to, like you said earlier, you're going to seed,
Yeah, we'll
after
show that.
completion of the project.
And since we actually have work done in the wetlands, we really can't delegate this to Alyssa.
Yeah, so just question about the ENS controls. I think I was thinking of it, because we're not going to have like the typical ENS controls around the limit of disturbance, like we would on another project,
I was
where there
just
were
thinking.
maybe surrounding. So I feel like check dams would probably be the best bet just because it's such a linear disturbance.
No, but check dams are for if the if it's not just a linear disturbance. The disturbance is going to go from each end of those solid black lines,
Downhill.
all going to be disturbed. That's a pretty significant area. Check dam's not going to check dam's great for swell construction. It's not going to do anything for a large area like this.
Yeah, I was
So you're
thinking
talking
like
about the grading, not the trench. Yeah.
if you look, yeah, if you look at the pond area, then I think that you want your hay bales or whatever your ENS controls are to extend from where it
Yeah.
says dot INV 688.3 over towards that 2x14, maple, so that you're basically covering the width of the pond with some sort of ENS control to keep whatever's coming down that slope out of the pond. That's what you're getting at, Michael.
That's it. Yeah.
So you could just sort of curve something around the half of the pond that's towards facing towards Brandy, and that would probably take care of it. And that should be shown on there with, and also with a note to your point, Michael, about that it will be seeded, afterwards, stabilized, seeded and stabilized.
And then I got a whole bunch of other questions, Ross, when it's the
Go for it.
appropriate time. This is gonna, right now the current drainage condition is any drainage that runs off the road has to cross the field, and any highway sand or salts will run out. Now we have a point discharge, we're carrying it right down to the pond. Or is the town going to be liable for any salt or sediment from winter treatment for the roads that are now going to be directly dumped into the pond?
What this is basically just taking is cross culvert. We're adding a basin at the downstream end of the cross culvert. The section of Brandy Street is not curbed. We're not directing anything to this basin. So in general, this is taking a lot of flow from the tennis courts over at the high school and bringing it down around. There will be some, as there is now, the salt that comes off the road, it's going to be running off the shoulders and into the grass shoulders as it is. This primarily was taking a lot of water from tennis courts here in front of the high school, runs down to the east of the park east of Loomis Road and comes in. So we're not really adding any additional water to this outlet, but we were just extending it down.
So there's no salt or anything that you, there's no chemicals or any treatment for salt and stuff on the tennis courts, correct?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's a, it's a good point you brought up, Michael, because if this was like the, dumping, from catch basins along the road, you're ch dumping all of it directly into the pond.
Right now we have a basically a 250-foot buffer where, the sand or salt's not going to get to the pond. But now, the swales along the roadside will mitigate some of that to a certain extent. I just wanted to make sure that was, but there probably will be some salt and sediment that gets down to the pond, at least more so than there is now. Is it going to be significant? I don't know. Like I said, the because the as long as most of the roadway drainage is entering the swale prior to the pipe, then it should probably be fine, and the swale itself will mitigate the any highway pollutant runoffs. So, it was a question I had, but I kind of already knew the answer, but I was wondering what other people's thoughts were. So I'm fine with this as it is now. Other question, is this going to continue to be used as a farm?
It would be. I defer to Barger on that question.
I guess that's for Rich to answer you. I think you're.
Yeah, because what I'm concerned about is if it is going to be used as a farm, I'd like more information on the pipe design. If farm equipment's going to be going over it, what's the trench excavation detail look like? There is no trench excavation detail on the plans. What's the cover going to be? Are there going to be any live load problems on the pipe from farm equipment?
So I can answer the question as to whether or not it's going to be a farm. This is Richard Barger, and I can say that the Connecticut Farmland Trust has a conservation, actually a farm easement on it, that was granted to it 2 to 3 years ago, and the only use of this property into the future forever is as a farm, by virtue of that easement. So.
So then, to Michael's point, are you going to be able to run farm equipment over this without damaging the pipe? Are you going to be able to like run a harrow through here without hitting the pipe? You know, any activities with, you know, typical farming equipment that you would find in, you know, this area of New England, is that pipe able to sustain that? Or does it need to be marked off that you just don't go over here with certain type of equipment?
Yeah, those are good points. So this has been hayed for 30 years by Larry Pease, and he can, he still intends on haying it into the future. But, when he's gone, there many years ago, probably 30, 40, 50 years ago, the original owner had corn planted here, Giulio Brondolo. So there could be some indications where there could be some turning of the soil. So I think that that'd be a good point. When we're all gone and Larry's gone and some other farmers working this land, then maybe there should be some identification as a pipe there. But I know I talked to Joe about, Larry running his hay equipment over it, and he said that that shouldn't be a problem. Larry runs, he put a pipe between the exit to the pod, which goes to the west and is shown on the plan. Larry put a 12-inch white plastic pump pipe in there, and runs his equipment over it, and I run my tractor over that. I don't know how much covers over that pipe, and I'm not sure. I'm not an engineer, so I don't know how strong white plastic pipe is versus this other stuff, but that pipe is held up well, for, Larry's running his big tractors. He's got some very large tractors that he uses. And I've run my 35 horse Kubota over that, no problem. So, yeah.
Larry installed that himself, correct?
I believe he did that, yes, and himself, right?
So I
Well,
guess.
it's, don't forget, it's not just the pipe, it's also the amount of cover. These pipes are really, they derive their structural capacity from a soil pipe interaction. So the same pipe that has 1 6 inches of cover is going to be much weaker than a pipe that has 2 feet of cover. And so much larger equipment over a pipe with 2 feet of cover than you can over one with 6 inches of cover. It's mostly from the live loads. And so it'd be nice if we can get information about how much cover is on this pipe, and if an engineer looked at it and said that it's capable of having farm equipment run over it.
Yeah, and specifying the type of, you know, there's two reasons for, you know, this discussion. Is one is to protect the property owner's interests, and the other is to protect the town's interest in this, because if this is not done such that it can sustain farming equipment and gets damaged, then there's a potential of, you know, liability between whoever is using this property or owning this property and, you know, the town. So I think this requires a little more thought, you know, from that perspective, to protect both the interests of whoever owns this property and, you know, the town, because like we're saying, after we're all gone, you know, other things can happen that, you know, we may not have insight into, and maybe different than what we imagine.
The pipe has maintained, and I've maintained the minimum cover throughout. I don't have the section on there, but you could interpolate That's why the grades are where they are. To maintain the minimum 1 foot of cover, I've got more than that. So, like with this HDP, I might have a little more than that on there. Down the end, you'll see it will you will lose the cover right at the very end because you have to come out. It's very flat yeah. there. It'll get 3 feet over the 250 feet. But that's why there's the grading that's occurring there because it raises the cover on the pipe.
So, Michael, would you be suggesting that we have some cross sections to show the depth of this, and particularly, let's say, at the engineered contour lines, that we have at least some cross section there showing the depth of the, you know, the pipe and some sort of analysis that it can sustain equipment of such and such a weight?
Yeah, usually the HDB manufacturers have a table they can reference, and so they can just reference the table with the cover, and that should cover the engineering part of it. And then if the plans can show a typical cross-section detail, which states what the minimum cover is, and also it shows what backfill is going to be material is used, what bedding material is going to be used, yada yada yada, just standard pipe trench details that you see on all highway projects.
I just think it would be a good thing to do, just for the you know, from just to, as I said, to protect the interests of both the property owners and, you know, and the town.
And then I have a couple more questions, unfortunately, sorry. The apron detail shown on the plan, it's just a template. It doesn't actually specify what type of riprap is going to be used. It doesn't specify some of the dimensions of the apron. And also, is there going to be an actual velocity outlet computations included as part of this design for the apron? I'd like to see more specifics, because right now the apron detail just says, you know, a width W, or I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember what it is. And it shows different depths of riprap depending on which one you select, but I don't see anything where it actually specifies what's going to be utilized or how that was determined.
Alyssa, there it is.
Okay.
I mean, that's right out of a standard plan, but you need.
Yeah, we could put
that has to be tailored for this specific project. So the contractor.
Put numbers on that. The floors are fairly low. We can.
Joe, you're breaking up.
The lengths and widths of that.
Joe, you were breaking up. I couldn't understand what you were saying.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we can identify the dimensions of that on this cross section.
Oh, yeah, just pick out the ones you're going to actually use rather than just, you know.
Yeah,
because and then to I think you also want to include what flow so that we know that whatever you've proposed is appropriate for the type of flow that you're expecting from this.
Yeah, it's usually the outlet velocity is the critical function of the apron design.
Yeah, this will probably be, it's 1% pitch coming through, probably even. You know, we can flatten that. It's just going to be minimal, but I'll get a number for that.
Okay. And are you using, so you're using a culvert end? It wasn't clear on the plans. So the details show.
Yeah, we're using a flared end.
Okay. That's all the questions I have, Ross.
Okay. And say, Diane, anything, David?
Well, I think it's good. I think Michael's asked some good questions here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it sounds like we're going to need to have this information, you know, put onto the plan, and we can look at it at our next meeting. And hopefully be able to, you know, approve it at that point if we got all the information that we've asked for tonight. because this is one seems a bit too complicated, complex, I should say, to just simply delegate to Alyssa. Plus, there's actual work in the wetlands, at the edge of the pond. So that would preclude delegating it to her anyway.
Sounds good to me.
So, Joe, any questions for us? I mean, you can certainly work with Alyssa on this. You know where to find her, and she knows where to find you.
Yeah, I got my notes here on there. I'll think you can get that pulled together.
Then I don't have any more questions. Anyone else? Questions for Joe or Rich?
No, sounds good.
No.
Then I guess we can move on. You know what we forgot to do is public comment. I shouldn't say we, I forgot. So I'm going to backtrack and ask if there's any members of the public here, and that could be anybody here who wants to comment as a member of the public. Jim, you have any questions? I see you just, when did you join, Jim? Before this discussion or during? I couldn't see because we
I
were
was
just.
during it, yeah. I've been on the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm here for another permit issue at the in Bolton.
So,
I'm here along with
yeah,
Steve Suss here.
There's a lot happening
There's
right now.
two.
I
I'm
gotta clear
sorry,
something
Jim
up.
Torello. I meant Jim Lersch.
Yeah.
No, I'm all set.
Got it. Sorry about that.
Jim. So I just realized I like totally screwed up. Steve and Jim, you folks, we already issued your permit. It was an agent permit that was issued last time. I had emailed it to you. It got sent out. So you folks don't have to be here. I totally blanked when you asked me for the meeting information. I just sent it to you thinking you needed to be here, but you don't need to be here. Your permit has already been issued. I'm so sorry for not realizing that.
No worries at all.
Yeah, you guys
No
are all
problem.
set. I'm so
Have a
sorry.
good evening, y'all.
Yeah, it's better showing up when you're not needed in this case than when you don't show up and we were expecting you here.
Yeah.
Understood.
But sorry
Thanks,
for that.
guys. No
So
worries.
Got
sorry.
it.
That
Have a
was
great
totally on
evening.
me. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So then, Alyssa, if you could just note in the minutes that Jim joined, I think, what'd you say, about 7:45, more or less?
Well, there was 7:35, 7:40. I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Okay, let's just say 7:40. Split the difference.
Sorry about
So I think we are done with 2511 then. And we will see you guys next month and hopefully be able to give you issue a permit. We'll see.
Thank you. Good night.
Good
Thank you.
night.
Okay.
So we can move on to our old business. I don't think we have anything to act on this one tonight, do we?
We don't have anything to act. I do have a pretty significant update, though.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay, so I received from George Logan some. So he finished up the delineation. I'll share in just a moment. So the delineation has been finished for our 37 notch.
So then I just be since we are going to talk about it, I'll just ask Diane to recuse herself
Oh,
and just
yes.
not participate in the discussion.
Do you want me to get off completely?
No, you can just you can listen but not participate or make any comment after we're done talking.
Okay.
So, this is the sketch that George Logan provided us after finishing up the delineation. Everybody can see that. So he's located all of his flags. And so there is a significant, where was he talking about? Between A dash seven.
So just to clarify, the yellow and white lines are the wetland boundaries, and the wetland is contained within those.
Correct. Yes.
So where it so says capital region, that's in the middle of the wetlands.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So everything on the northern side of this boundary is upland, and then everything on the southern side of the boundary is mapped wetlands. So
approximately nowhere on this property that anything can be done without getting a permit.
That is what it seems like. So there was, he said that between A-7, I think there was a portion of the wetland area, maybe this was where he was talking about, that was so thick with multiflora rows that it was impossible to get through, even to like machete through. So there's a section that is like that. So yeah, all of this blue is all mapped. And so yeah, basically everything up here, pretty much anything within 100 feet is gonna be considered the upland review area, and everything back behind this is the wetlands. So this area of like lighter fill here is definitely gonna have to come out. They have already removed a pretty significant pile of wood chips from the wetland, like before we got it delineated, but it seems like there is gonna be more involved.
And you said that, I believe if I recall from his preliminary report, there's some places he said he could not order down to the wetland soil that was below because there were 4 to 6 feet or more of wood chips.
That's correct. Yeah. So he said that there were areas of 10 feet of fill. So yeah, we're going to have to see. There's areas of historic fill on this property, like that were there well before they took ownership of it. And then there are areas that have been filled since, like filled by the property owner slash tenant. Yep. So we're going to have to determine that.
I think that it's pretty easy to determine that anything with wood chips is probably the result of the current act, but the activities by the current tenant.
Correct. So there's up in like this area, kind of. It would definitely go through the wetlands. There is a like a historic logging road that goes up kind of basically to this like cliff up here. So that's definitely historic fill. That's probably several feet of fill. So obviously they're not going to be liable for that. But yeah, so we are going to have to figure out what is theirs basically.
So because of the extensive nature of this, I am hesitant to have the property owner and or the tenant do clearing on their own without a proper plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Of what they're going to do and what they're going to restore, you know, and how is it going to be restored.
Yeah, so we're going to have to see on site what things are looking like, because we were pretty much just tied to this one area when I have been on there and you came with me, Ross.
Yeah. We walked through that area where it's just filled in with chips.
Right.
There are, you know, there is, to Alyssa's point, and in fairness to the property owner, there is previous, you know, construction work there. Yeah, it had been done, I should say, previous activity, meaning filling in like with the old logging road and so forth, that, you know, they can't be held responsible for.
Yeah.
So that has to be distinguished too and agreed upon.
Exactly.
So there's really like, there has to be a restoration plan that's done by somebody who specializes in doing this type of work. It can't just be an amateur attempt by the property owner and or the tenant, I would say, and that it, you know, so it's got to be how are you taking it out? How are you going to restore it? And what is it exactly that we're asking, you know, be done, you know, to make sure we're not asking them to take out his, you know, historic fill that predates, you know, their taking ownership of the prod, you know, of the property, and also predates any inland wetlands regs too.
Yeah, so that should probably be the first step, determining the limits of a remediation area.
Yeah, and we do have another concern here. If you look in the lower right-hand corner, there was an agriculture exemption granted for down where, see that sort of little rec that little rectangular area down there in the driveway? And it looks like there's a truck or something set up there. There's an agricultural exemption that we gave when Barbara Kelly was there and the applicant came in and was filling. And we gave them a permit that allowed the exemption that allowed them to keep the fill in that area with the understanding that that was going to be used to grow mushrooms and blueberries. And nothing that you can see when you go on the property shows any use of it for agricultural purposes. There's a sawmill set up there to process lumber that's brought in.
Was that agreement made with the current owner or a
Yes.
previous? Okay.
The current owner, and it's 5 or 6 years ago.
Got it.
And it was for specifically to grow mushrooms and or blueberries. And neither of which I could see were there. So we've got a couple of issues to you know, to talk to the property owner about. So I think, Alyssa, what I'd like to do is to go over that report with you. And we need to talk over a little bit with Jim Rupert. Unfortunately, he is on vacation, I think, until next week, is it?
I think so, yeah.
And then we also need to meet with the property owner as well and see what we need to do with this.
Yeah, we do have a time set up 8:30 on Friday. I have the GPS tracker, so.
Well, you're going to go, that's a separate issue so much as you're going in to mark the wetland boundaries on a G with the our town's GPS device.
Correct, but the property owner said that before 9:30 he could be there, so we can meet with him then.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I want to go over this, you know, all of this stuff with him at that time.
Okay.
I think we need to get the boundaries marked. We need to figure out how we're, you know, what we want to say to him because this is a very large thing, and I want to protect his interests as well as those of the towns. And so I think we just need to proceed carefully. I've got no problem with telling him that we've completed this. We're going to go transfer, you know, get these, you know, so that. You know, get the GPS readings and that we have the report, and we'll set up a time to formally go over that with him. And I don't think like just trying to go over it with him immediately in the field before I've even really had a chance to look at it, ask any questions, you know, with you and with Mr. Rupert. I just want to proceed carefully with this and protect, you know, his and the, you know, like I said, the property owner's interests as well as those of the towns. This is just a really significant amount of, you know, fill. So I guess I would ask the sense of the commission is what I'm hearing is, and again, I'm not asking, you know, Diane, is that this needs to be delineated in the field as to what is pre, you know, what disturbances pre-exist the current owner's acquisition of the property. and eliminate those from remediation, and then carefully identify specifically what areas do need to be remediated and how.
And that they're going to need to engage the services of somebody qualified to do the work.
Yeah, I think this goes beyond them just doing a little bit of pulling a little pile.
Oh, I agree. Out. Oh, yeah. I'm just adding that.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree with you. I just want to make sure, David, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's a little hard to looking at this just to get your arms around it. So I think, more of a detailed definition of exactly where the problems are and what they are would be helpful for me. Maybe I'm missing something here, but
Jim, your thoughts?
I agree with what you're saying.
Okay, so I would feel comfortable when we meet with the property owner on Friday, just to say that what we're here for. You can show them this picture, and we can say we have the report, and we can make sure that, excuse me, we get him a copy, because he's certainly entitled to it. But I just want to make sure that we review this first, because George is doing the work for us, not for the property owner. So we should make sure we understand, what it is there, clear any questions with George Logan, who, did the delineations and provided the report, and then share it with, Mr. Uzanov. Again, it's not to hide anything from him. It's just the work is being done for us, as a commission. And I think we need to make sure that we're good with, that, and have our questions answered. And then we can, make sure that Mr. Uzanov understands what the report is saying, and then work with him to come to some sort of agreement on remediation. And again, it can't just be his tenant with his bobcat clearing this out. They might be able to do some of the work, but it would need to be under the supervision of somebody who's a trained professional in this type of remediation. If that's okay with that person, and that can help save some work, some money for, Mr. Uzanov and his tenant, I'm fine with that. But it would need to be under the direction of somebody who specializes in this and done to their satisfaction, as well as ours as a commission. And just that this is one of those things that's going to take a while to get corrected, just because of the size of it. It's not like somebody, like a couple of the folks we've decided to just wanted to get rid of some Phragmites on their property and hacked it down by the side of a stream and put black plastic over this. This goes beyond that. Any other, questions, comments on?
Ross, just wondering, would it be worthwhile for the board to visit the site? I don't know if there can be anything gained really from that, or if the map delineations that we're seeing are tell the story. I don't know if it's a...
We'll take that into consideration.
Just a thought.
No, I just don't know. I will take it into consideration. I just want to just have some discussions with the, town staff on, how they would feel, approving it, proceeding. Mm-hmm. Nope. I agree with you, because it was different for me to see it than it is to look at these, this, and to actually walk on the property and see it. So I would agree with your intent, and we'll just see, where it goes. Shall we move on to the wetland agent's report?
Okay. Nothing huge this month. Sent a couple of letters regarding drainage issues. Shady Lane and West Street, there's a couple of folks not upholding their like drainage easements and things like that.
Those are the ones you and I have spoken about a couple of times.
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, small things like that. And then
And you sent them a follow-up, correct? Because you and I went over that. It started out with, hey, guys, you know what? You're supposed to take care of this as the property owners, too. I haven't seen you take care of this. You really need to do this, or this may result in further consequences if you don't get this done by a certain date.
Yeah, exactly. So we're on stage two, the sort of that stage for one of the sites, and then I just sent the first letter for a different site with a very similar problem.
And we typically don't like to jump ugly with people immediately.
Yeah.
Just make them, you know, first step is making awareness and asking if you could please like take care of this yourself. And then the pressure increases.
Yes.
Compliance doesn't follow.
So the super exciting news is that I made my last inspection of 180 Bolton Center. It's 100% stabilized, and I told them they could go ahead and remove the silt fence. So that one is officially closed out after, I'm pretty sure, like 5 years of work. So that's great.
That's a relief.
Absolutely. It was a huge relief. That was one of the first ones I got when I first started working here, and then, yeah. So that
when you retire, you were hoping not to still be dealing with it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I might be doing this. That is all good. 65 Shoddy Mill is doing good. They're gonna plant woody stuff. They can't plant woody stuff right now, it'll scorch. So they're gonna start that in the fall. It looks awesome. It's super, super well established, just naturally without any plantings. That's pretty much it. It was, 148 Brandy Street is still doing good. Oh, I can, at this point, I can.
148 is the pool, correct?
Correct. I finally figured out, what I'm supposed to do for this. So this is going to be in every packet now. I just have like a little database. So I've pulled out from my database all the unexpired permits for which the permitted activities have not been completed. So the yellow one is the only one with active like boots on the ground work happening right now. So that's why it's yellow. All the blue ones have been permitted, but the work hasn't started. You can see here, work started, active work, fully stabilized, brief project description, and whether it's an agent permit or not.
And none of these are expiring anytime soon.
Nope. No, these are all quite recent. These are all good. But there is actually one other thing. The 0 Vernon Road, or it's actually now 25 Vernon Road. But at the time that he was doing this, it didn't have an address yet. But it's 25 Vernon Road. It's actually up for sale again. The property owner decided to sell it as a now fully permitted lot. So that's unlikely to be starting really anytime soon because it's still not even sold. So that one likely won't be happening for a bit.
So then we'll just have to keep an eye on when whoever, yes. If we see that it has been sold, then we're going to have to talk to whoever wants to do the work on there like we did with One Notch Road.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So, but the rest of them, I think, should be starting work pretty soon here within the next couple months. But yeah, so that's everything active at the moment. So that's all I got for an agent permit. But if there's any questions of things that I didn't address, please let me know.
I'm trying to think of what other Fascinating discussions you and I've had about various things, and I think these cover it. I don't know if anybody else has questions for Alyssa. This is always one of those things where keep an eye open while you drive around town, ride your bicycle or whatever, and if you see anything, that's of concern. If you can, I like to talk to the property owner when if I happen to see them, identify who I am, and hook them up with Alyssa, if needed. And it's just all something we each can do. I remember Andy Gordon was a former member. He used to do that quite a bit to, let our previous agent Cam know what was going on that he saw.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess that's it. And we can move on to other. And Jim, just for your awareness, did you get my voicemail, Jim?
No.
Well, I left you a voicemail on your cell phone, I think.
Oh, that's kind of out of commission at the moment.
Oh well, then I guess you didn't hear it. So when we get to eight, when we get to 7B, which will, we'll talk about it. It's election of officers.
Oh, man.
So, wetlands updates. We still haven't had a chance to talk to the selectmen because they are still in the middle of trying to have a budget. And so, updating our regs is not really on their priority list. But you know what we could do while we're waiting for them, Alyssa, is we could just ask for feedback.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We can send them the regs, ask them to review it, then we can send them over to Rod Parley. We always like to send stuff to as our partner with, the Conservation Commission. And we can proceed with, getting their input that way.
Okay.
And I think that we could probably just do that nice little brochure you put and just go and stick it out in the town clerk's office. I don't
Yeah.
think it's going to hurt not to just go ahead and do that. You want to just print a few copies on the town copier when you're in and give it to, Liz Waters.
Okay.
I think we can go. If everybody agrees with that, I just don't see the point in, waiting. We might as well get, just say, hey, selectman, take a look at this. Rod Parley always likes to see stuff. He's constantly sending me things. So we should just start sending this stuff out. I'd wait on doing a public hearing before we get input back from P&Z also. We should send it to them since they're the other land use. So P&Z, Selectmen, Conservation Commission, and can ask Jim Rupert if he wants to send it to the town attorney yet, or if they want to wait till after the selectmen look at it. I don't think there's anything particularly controversial in there since it's just really definitions, but it doesn't hurt at some point for the attorney to look at it.
Yeah, it's more the fees that are changing
Yeah.
significantly.
Yeah, I like I said, I don't think any of this is a big deal, but it just doesn't hurt to cross the T's and dot the I's and make sure. I'd rather ask a few people who say they're not interested in looking than not ask somebody who might be. And then the other step was once the selectmen look at it and we get their okay, I think Deep has to look at it. I don't know if they even will or do that anymore because it used to be Darcy Winther would look at it.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so it still needs to go to her out of a courtesy or whoever her heir is in that position. I think they finally did pick somebody. And then after the selectmen look at it and the attorney does, we do the public hearing. And if we're lucky, somebody will show up. And then whatever feedback we get from these folks, Alyssa, you and I can, you know, summarize it, bring it to the, you know, bring it to the committee, commission. Any other thoughts from folks on the regs?
No.
So then we can move on to the election of officers, which is required by the town charter. Section 11.1b, on or after July 1, but not later than 30 days after all required appointments to a commission, board, or agency have been made, such appointed commission, board, or agency shall hold an organization meeting and shall choose a chairman and vice chairman and such other officers as such commission, board, or agency deems necessary. And it needs to be in the form of a motion and voted upon. And then I have to notify the town clerk. And it has to be in our minutes for the meeting. So I don't intend to keep doing this forever. And I just am very interested in, you know, what happens when I say I just don't want to be chair anymore in a year or couple of years or so, and I would stick around and be willing to be vice chair or just a member, but I just don't, I'm trying to just offload this stuff. I'm stopping being chair of finance committee. It's public knowledge. It's no secret, you know, at the end of this year. And I'm going to stay in the registrar of voters position until my term expires, and I will be 75. And I think I don't want to really be this engaged in this many different activities to the extent that I am, and focus more on what I want to do. Not that I don't want to do this, but not to this extent. So just with that in mind, I'm talking about succession for this. And Jim, just say if I were to retire, you wouldn't be interested in doing the chairmanship again.
No, I've been there, done that.
And that's how I feel, you know, and I'd like to just sort of get things lined up for me. So that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And I had talked to Michael to see if he would be interested in being vice chair, because then if he gets some experience chairing meetings, and he said he had a sort of an interest, unless somebody better came along to do the job. And
I didn't want to push someone out of the way. You know, I haven't been doing this for very long.
Like I said, Michael, when you first came on board, I said, I'm not doing this forever. Anybody else want to understood. Do it better and differently? I don't own this. I've done it for I've been on this commission since came into town in 2009. Mm-hmm. God knows how long I've been the chair, and Jim was longer than I believe. And then before that, it was Gwen Marion. Was there anybody else in between you and Gwen, Jim?
No.
Because Gwen,
Gwen.
Yeah, Gwen was the first chair, then it went to Jim. And I think she was the chair when it separated from Conservation Commission. They changed it to split it into two different boards. So I'm willing to stay on. I don't want to stick Michael with something like, you know, okay, you're the chair, no tag backs, since he's the newbie here. But he's also one of the youngins, more so than some of the others.
No, that's fine. Like you said, I'm not quite ready to step into the chair spot, but I'm more than willing to take on the vice chair position.
Well, and it also means you would be the one who would be chairing it if I can't be here, and we'd still work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, through that. So that's good practice as well. And and like some of the things that we talked about too, there's classes that in freedom of information, the main thing we have to be concerned about is due process, fairness, you know, and following the Freedom of Information Act guidelines about timings around various notifications, and not to mention.
Yeah, it's mostly all the procedural matters I need to really learn up on and become accustomed to, and you know, you don't memorize everything right away when you first start taking it on, but at least know the resources. And as I substitute for your when meetings you can't make, I'll build up that knowledge base, hopefully.
Like a lot of what you said, it's like when you were talking about the drainage pipe, just go look at the manufacturer specs, your manufacturer specs here, the statutes, the town charter, and the inland wetlands.
Yeah.
Plus whatever sources that you would consult, you know, as an engineering professional, civil engineer, just like, you know, Jim does.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the engineering part down. I had a little practice with that.
But I mean, the rest of it, it's most of it is like,
yeah,
know where the sources are, go look it up.
Exactly. And which is half the job an engineer does. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not, the process isn't really different. It's just in a different field.
Yep. Yep.
So then I guess what I would do is just entertain a slate, you know, with myself as chair. And a motion to, you know, accept me as the chair and Michael as the vice chair, unless anybody else is desperate to take over, because I don't care. It's not going to hurt my feelings. It'll help me.
So moved.
So motion made by Jim and seconded by David. Any further discussion? Then seeing none and nobody just jumping to put their name on the slate or run or campaign at the moment, I will entertain all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? So the motion passes unanimously. And I will write a note to Liz so you don't need to deal with that, Alyssa, to Liz Waters, the town clerk, and just say that our, you know, regular meeting of July 22nd, we approved myself as chair and Michael as the vice chair. And again, I want to just thank Jim for his years of service too, and everybody else just for helping out, because this is a team effort.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thank you folks for your service to this commission.
And then I thank Alyssa for putting up with us.
You guys are great. You don't have to thank me.
Just take all the thanks you can get. They're few and far between. People usually complain more, so soak it up. So anyway, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn at 8:25. David, seconded by Michael. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? None. So see you guys next month. And I will do that letter to the town clerk now before I forget.
All right.
All right. Thank
you.
Take
care. Bye.
Come and vote next Tuesday at the referendum for those of you who are electors in the town.
All righty.
See you. Okay.
Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.